Cressy noticed Rosaline and me sitting there in the dark and said, "The funeral home in town has a drive-by window. It used to be a bank. Nowadays, they put the open casket right up in the window where we used to drive through and get our checks cashed," said Queenie. "People can drive through and pay their respects without having to get out. They even send the guest book out in the drawer for you to sign."
"You ain't serious," said Rosaline.
"Oh, yeah," Queenie said. "We're serious." They might have been speaking the truth, but they didn't look serious. They were falling on each other laughing, and there was May dead. Lunell said, "I drove in there one time to see Mrs. Lamar after she passed, since I used to work for her way back when. The woman who sat in the window beside her casket used to be the bank teller there, and when I drove off, she said, 'You have a nice day now.'" I turned to August, who was wiping her eyes from tears of hilarity. I said, "You won't let them put May in the bank window, will you?"
"Honey, don't worry about it," said Sugar Girl. "The drive-by window is at the white people's funeral home. They're the only ones with enough money to fix up something that ridiculous."
They all broke down again with hysterics, and I couldn't help laughing too, partly with relief that people would not be joyriding through the funeral home to see May, and partly because you could not help laughing at the sight of all the daughters laughing. But I will tell you this secret thing, which not one of them saw, not even August, the thing that brought me the most cause for gladness. It was how Sugar Girl said what she did, like I was truly one of them. Not one person in the room said, "Sugar Girl, really? Talking about white people like that, and we have a white person present." They didn't even think of me being different. Up until then, I'd thought that white people and colored people getting along was the big aim. But after that, I decided everybody being colorless together was a better plan. I thought of that policeman, Eddie Hazelwurst, saying I lowered myself to be in this house of colored women. And for the very life of me, I couldn't understand how it had turned out this way, how colored women had become the lowest ones on the totem pole. You only had to look at them to see how special they were, like hidden royalty among us. Eddie Hazelwurst, what a shit bucket. I felt so warm inside toward them, I thought to myself that if I should die, I would be glad to go on display in the bank window and give the daughters of Mary a good laugh. On the second morning of the vigil, long before the daughters arrived, even before June came downstairs, August found May's suicide note caught beneath the roots of a live oak, not 10 yards from the spot she died. The woods had buried it under fresh-sprouted leaves, the kind that shoot up overnight. Rosaline was making banana cream pie in honor of May, and I was sitting at the table working on my cereal and trying to find something decent on the transistor radio when August burst into the kitchen holding the note with two hands like the words might fall off if she wasn't real careful. She yelled up the stairs, "June, come on down here. I found a note from May." August spread it out on the table and stood over it with her hands pressed together. I turned off the plastic radio and stared at the crinkled stiff paper, how the words were faded from being outside. June's bare feet slapped the stairs, and she broke into the room. "Oh, God, August, what does it say?"
"It's so May," August said, and she lifted up the note and read it to us. "Dear August and June, I'm sorry to leave you like this. I hate you being sad, but think how happy I'll be with April, Mama, Papa, and Big Mama. Picture us up there together, and that will help some. I'm tired of carrying around the weight of the world. I'm just gonna lay it down now. It's my time to die, and it's your time to live. Don't mess it up. Love, May." August laid down the note and turned to June. She opened her arms wide, and June walked into them. They clung to each other, big sister to little sister, bosom to bosom, their chins wrapped around each other's necks.